Oh, look, a vampire.
Hey,
guys, what's
wait,
your
what's
gain
your
at?
Gain at? My gain's
get it bigger because you're yeah. Get it bigger because you're.
Like, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, more gain. Yeah,
more gain.
Good.
More
good.
Gain.
More gain. Gain.
Gain.
Gain. What's going on, guys? What's good?
Hey, what's up? I'm really in a soup. Soup.
We're gonna be lit.
I'm really in a silly, goofy mood right now.
I do. I was getting tired.
I'm also a little sleep deprived
and also
a little sick
when I come home from work because I just be acting crazy at work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come back and I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
It's like it's just.
I feel that.
On that.
I feel that.
I feel that.
I really feel that silly goofiness. Let's talk about pop culture.
Yeah. What
recent
the fuck?
Pop culture?
Okay. First and foremost. Love Island.
Oh my god.
USA, baby.
It just gets crazier and crazier.
No, because Love Island, there's always had. Don't cry.
Oh.
It's always had this quality that's very alluring because it's like a social experiment and it's very interesting just to see how it all pans out.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is tea. It's not usually tea like this.
It I don't know if it's ever been tea like this. It's the most tea.
It's the most tea
I've ever experienced.
It's, yeah.
But we're loving it, and we can't stop watching it. And I also recently, I've just really been into, like, comfort shows, and I started the new season of Great British Bake Off, and...
You know what I rewatched?
What did you rewatch?
I started Twin Peaks again.
You did?
I needed it, bro. I needed the vibe, the music.
Sometimes you need the comfort.
And that's the thing.
That's
are you watching a new Great British
It's a new
show?
Season, and
okay,
guess who the new host is? Allison Hammond, you know her?
Yes.
And she is so fucking funny.
She's
like, this
really
is one
funny.
Of the best seasons I've watched already because it's so funny. And also just, like, the contestants they have on this one are, like, such characters.
Wow.
And then with Allison, like, I'm genuinely, like, sitting there cracking up. Like, yesterday, like, when I was sick from work the other day, I was just sitting on the couch, like... Like,
having a
lolling out loud at the bake-off.
Lolling at the bake-off.
I was literally lolling at the bake-off.
That's what you have to do sometimes.
Yeah, so amazing. Loving our pop culture. We also watched a really beautiful movie recently.
Oh.
Emotional banger.
Oh, my God. I forget the movie. Like, we stay going to the movies. Like,
about
us, we go to the fucking movies.
That is true. We're up on that.
We
saw We Live in Time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That really hit.
That was really good.
That really got me in my feels.
Got me in my feelings.
Got me in my feels, dude. It really was sad.
It was so sad.
It was just like a beautiful...
And
the thing about it was so simple. Like, it was literally just like a very normal, like, love story.
It was just a love story.
But the way that they, like, did it was just so seamless. And
it felt so realistic.
You felt like you were watching someone's life, like, seriously.
Yeah,
it was
very,
crazy.
Very realistic. And I kind of... It reminded me of, like, the Before Sunrise movies where it's just like...
I've never seen those.
Oh, my God. I've only seen one.
But you know how I feel about
it's
Ethan
so
Hawke.
Good.
He kind of frees me out.
And he is weird in that, but
yeah.
It's easy. It's you can overlook it because it's like such a good movie.
Yeah, I
because it's like no
those.
Plot, just vibes, just like romance and
people
like real
life.
People. Like
yeah.
Just it's so real, and I feel like that's how We Live in Time was. But it was also like incredibly tragic. So
fucking sad.
Beware.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I loved it. I loved it.
But I mean, they didn't even show like the really sad stuff, but just. Through not showing it, it's, like, even more sad.
I know,
like
because
weird.
You know it's going to happen.
Yeah, you know. And, then
and
like
they
you
build
see,
it
they
up.
They build it up because you get so invested in this, like, couple. And then you're like, oh, fuck.
It's so sad.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah.
But it was an amazing movie.
Loved it.
I can't wait to see, what is it, Anora? I want to see that
yeah,
next weekend.
Yeah, I want to see that, too.
You're working.
I'm working.
I could always go a different day if you want to go together.
I would.
Because I'm an AMC A-list member. Now.
You can go whenever.
I go there whenever the fuck I want.
I think we should talk about our Halloween costumes because this is probably going to come out around Halloween. Am I correct?
Oh my God, yes!
I just thought about that, Halloween.
Maybe I'll just get it out like, we'll see. It'll be out some, yeah, either before or after Halloween.
Yeah, we haven't discussed our Halloween costumes yet on the pod,
oh my
you
God.
Guys. So
well,
let's discuss.
Okay, this is the progression of mine because every year.
There's always a progression.
There's always a progression because every year I'm like, I'm going to pop off. And then I realize, oh, that takes time and money. And recently, I've had a lot more time on my hands. I've tried to mellow out for the rest of the year. I'm trying to like, you know, prioritize my things,
mm-hmm.
have some solid fucking days off,
yeah.
and just, like, vibe out, you know? So I do have the time, technically, but the monies, that's the problem.
Yeah, for
that's
real.
That's where a problem
That arises. Is always how it is. Like early October, I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to ball out. Always. I have three costumes planned. Yep. And then you start to get closer and you're like,
I got one. And then I got one. It's not even the one, it's like the backup. The hot dog costume is coming out. You know?
Yeah. Or it's here. Like, I just don't want to have to, like, shopping for three separate costumes and the money that entails and the time entails.
And the coordination with other people that it entails.
Totally. And making sure you're going to the same events.
Yeah, the same events. That was the issue. So.
However, now that I'm quitting my job, I think I will be able to be Jane.
Oh, my God, amazing.
On Friday night if I'm feeling better.
Here's our costumes. Well, here's the progression. So I was going to be King Ramses, the King Ramses of Courage the Cowardly Dog with the Return the Slab.
Right.
Which I'm going to do at some point because that's such a Slade costume and I would eat that.
And very unique.
Very unique. No one's going to know.
I got a cough.
Sorry. And then... What was my other one that I was going to be? There was another. Oh, we were going to be Zach and Cody, and then we were
going to... That's been on the drawing board for a while.
That's been on the drawing board for several months, and we will do that eventually. Yes. Or maybe we'll just fuck around and...
Do it one of these days?
Yeah, just fuck around and do it for, like, TikTok. Really.
Yeah.
And then we were going to be Pete Martell and Laura Palmer.
Laura Palmer from Twin Peaks. Yeah, I was going to be dead Laura Palmer.
But the thing with that one is, like, I didn't want to spend the money on, like, a full... like, full Pete regalia, if that was my backup costume, you know? Because it's, like, a lot of money. And I would kind of just be an accessory to yours. Like, yours would be a slapper.
Mine would be... And mine would be, like... The main event.
Funny. Like, wrapped in plastic.
Like,
you know,
like fish in the percolator.
Yeah, so that was just, like, okay, money-wise, I had to cut that one out. So then I found a hat. A Jesse Pinkman hat. And it was just too perfect.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be. And I have everything that I need to be Jesse Pinkman. I am.
You have his energy. You have his looks. Exactly. You have his style.
I don't know if I should take that as a compliment, but it's true.
No, but it is. It a compliment. Is.
Thank you.
In the best way.
In the best way. So I'm going to be Jesse Pinkman. And then I was like, well, if...
Slade.
You kind of look like Jane.
I kind of look like Jane. So we kind of and we were like, wait, costume. That's perfect. And we have discussed this before, so I'm going to be Jane. And also, Jane is an easy costume for me. It's basically just, like, black, like, 2000s fit.
Yeah.
I just need to get some, like, edgy studded bracelets and some fuck-ass bangs.
Fuck-ass bangs.
And then I'm ready to go. But
amazing. And then we have to film a little TikTok.
Yeah, we must.
You guys will see the costume.
We must. And we need to get, like, little bags of fake meth. Yeah, not real meth. Well, maybe some powdered sugar.
Powdered sugar.
Maybe some
But it needs to be, like, crystal meth. Yeah. Oh, we can get, like, the salt that you, like, put down to get snow.
Yes. Snow. Yes. We need something that looks like crystal meth.
Does Poppy have some of that outside? A little bag of it?
Oh, yeah.
Let's just take some of that.
Oh, my God. And we dye it blue?
Sure. But the good stuff is white. Blue. That good stuff is white, isn't it? Or is it blue?
I think, like, theirs is special because it's blue.
Oh, I couldn't remember if it was special because it's blue, like, or, like, white.
It's totally clear, though.
Oh.
Okay, I think... I don't remember.
You watched it more recently than I did.
I think it, like, started off blue and then maybe it got more white. Like, as they, like...
I thought when, like, Walter made it, it was, like, white and that's, like, that means you did it fucking right.
Maybe you're right.
I don't remember, though.
I don't recall.
Well, actually, I cook meth all the time, so I think I'm actually smart. Oh, and then our friend Emma is going to be Walter White.
He's going to be Walty White.
She's going to eat it up with that.
I am so hyped for that.
But then I'm thinking, because I'm going to a drag show this week, the one and only Alyssa Edwards for her Halloween show, I'm thinking I'm going to do clown or jester drag.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, yeah, you could totally
get some fake lashes and do the whole... jester thing.
Because you have all that stuff anyway.
And wear some, like, fucking fishnets. And then...
Perfect.
So, actually, I'll be... So, two costumes. I can do two. And that's good for me, I think.
And my... And your second one? My second one, this is more the main event, because I've been wanting to do this for a long time, is Flapper Girl.
Period.
And I got all the things for it. I just got some makeup for it. Like, I'm literally going to shave my eyebrows thinner. I'm going to, like, really go the full nine yards. Not super, super thin, but, like, just a little thinner to, like, give that effect more.
Okay.
I think I could pull it off.
Yeah, I think you can too. You have, the fair complexion for it. You have that 1920s beauty.
I have that 1920s look. I got the big-ass eyes.
Big fucking
and
eyes.
And the little-ass mouth and the short hair. Like, I was meant.
You're meant.
I was meant to be in the 20s.
And this building, guess what? 100 years old.
It's the perfect time for me to be a flapper girl. Like, I'm celebrating this apartment, and then I convinced my boyfriend to be a 1920s mobster with me.
Amazing.
So, it's going to be super fucking cool.
You guys are going to eat that up. Like, you guys are going to eat that up. I can't wait to, like, see everyone's costumes. I'm actually so excited. I told my bandmates when I invited them to the party, I was like, you guys better be wearing a fucking costume. Like, if you come to my door and you're not wearing a costume, turn around.
Leave. Yeah, no, you're not welcome in our house if you're not wearing a costume. You're coming
to my Halloween party?
Not without a costume?
You don't know us then, because we're committed to the bit always. Yeah,
and that's why we forced Ryan to dress up, because Ryan doesn't Ryan's not really a dress-up Halloween guy.
Yeah, y'all know Ryan.
But
y'all know Ryan.
Remember now, Ryan. Now you're acquainted with him. He's not really a dress-up Halloween guy. No. He's not silly goofy like that, but we forced that upon him in this household, and he's going to be a priest. He's going to be a priest. We got him a little priest fit, and it's just
so good.
Perfect for him. I'm telling everybody, like, if you're not coming in a fit, don't come up.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And the priest thing kind of leads into our, kind of sort of leads into ours.
In a way.
I'll be talking about Catholicism a little bit.
Okay, yes.
Okay, yes. What are we talking about today? Is that all the pop culture you had?
That's all I had to say. Perfect segue.
Okay.
Vampires.
Vampires. We're talking about vampires today.
Yay.
Last time we talked. We're going to try to, I mean, Halloween is here. Guys, let's be real.
Let's be real.
I'm going to try to get this out before Halloween so we can be extra spooky and fun.
Yeah.
But we're going to keep it, like we said, we're keeping the spooky vibes going through November until we feel like talking about Christmas winter-related content. Yeah. So,
yes.
This is
so our, don't think this is the end.
Yeah. This is our world, and you're just living in it.
Yeah. Right. This is our Halloween world.
So anyways, yes, vampires.
Yeah. Should I start?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to dive into the history, as per usual.
As per usual.
So, yeah, vampires are, I would say, arguably the most classic horror monster.
Yeah.
And they've fascinated and scared people across cultures for centuries. It's also really interesting to me how, and I'll kind of talk about this, I'm sure you'll talk about this, but vampires are the only, like, spooky monster in pop culture that's kind of sexualized.
Oh, I'd be talking about
I'm sure it. I'm sure like just say. The fact that they bite you and suck your blood is like very intimate,
the exchange of fluids and the speak of penetration.
It's pretty, very sexual. But so that's the main characteristic for sure, but other characteristics, of course, allergic to the sun. They sometimes can morph into bats. We're crazy. What? Like, sick as fuck. They can't see their own image in the mirror. They don't like garlic.
I forget about that one.
Mm-hmm. I dive into some of the little myths. They don't cast shadows.
Oh,
They don't fuck with garlic. You know, just things like that. They're really pale. Like, you know. So the folklore surrounding the vampire phenomenon originated in Eastern Europe, and the first known reference to vampires appeared in written form in Old Russian in AD 1047, which was soon after Orthodox Christianity moved into Eastern Europe, and the term for vampire was upir.
Upir.
Which...
In upir. Upir, upir.
And its possible meaning was... the thing at the feast or sacrifice, referring to, like, a dangerous spiritual entity that people believed could just appear at rituals for the dead. So it was kind of a euphemism to avoid speaking the creature's name, because they were very afraid of it. And it served a function similar to, like, a lot of demonic creatures in folklore, which is they're blamed for a lot of problems, basically. Yeah. It's just kind of a manifestation of their issues at
death
the time.
And plague.
Yes, and that's
stuff
mainly
within
it.
Science that they can't, they didn't,
that they didn't
the
understand.
Knowledge to explain.
Yeah, it's really a lot of fears around health and illness is a big part of the vampire folklore. So
it's so fucking interesting. Like,
it's
when
so interesting.
I was like, damn, like, this is so interesting.
It all
just
makes
like
sense.
How people use mythology just to explain and like storytelling just to help them cope with things that
they don't understand.
And it's still like that till today.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I mean, and for most of human history, we didn't have knowledge of bacteria or viruses or disease, and so it makes...
Until, like, pretty recently.
Very recently, yeah. So it makes sense why this would arise, if you think about it.
Yeah.
So it really thrived, like, vampire superstition really thrived in the Middle Ages as the plague was destroying towns, and it often left behind, like, bleeding mouth lesions on victims, so that was kind of a sign of vampirism to people.
Yeah.
And just generally, it wasn't uncommon for anyone with, like, an unfamiliar physical or emotional illness to be labeled a vampire. So the main disease that people think really sparked these vampire superstitions was porphyria. I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah, sounds right.
And it's a blood disorder that can cause, let's hear it, sensitivity to sunlight, receding of gums, which might make your teeth look kind of fang-like, an aversion to garlic.
Hello?
Because
actually, that was porphyria had that effect too?
Yeah, because garlic has like a really high sulfur content, which could like spark an attack of porphyria.
Oh my god. Isn't that gagging? What the fuck?
As well as facial disfigurement, which might be the reason, like, many patients avoided looking in mirrors. Hence this, not appearing in mirrors.
Yeah, because I saw that it would, like, deteriorate, like maybe cartilage, because then it would break down, like, your ears and your nose, which is giving Nosferatu. Oh, I was wearing my Dice Bits shirt earlier, and it had a little Nosferatu on it. I just knew that the vibe was vampire today.
You just knew it.
I fucking know.
Intuitively. And get this, some symptoms of porphyria can be temporarily relieved by ingesting blood.
Oh yeah, I read that. That's fucking crazy.
Because it's a blood disorder. So,
but like,
there you go.
But like, how does that even make sense?
I don't really know the logistics.
I'm not a scientist.
I don't really know. Maybe he knows about porphyria. No, he probably... No, I should. I don't know if he knows, like, historical diseases
You're like
that.
So tell me about porphyria. He's like, girl, I don't know.
It's so funny. He might. We'll have to have him on the pod.
He just pops in and he's like, any medical stuff, he like pops in and like, he's like, porphyria.
So other diseases blamed for, that was the main disease, like, that people link to vampirism for sure. But other ones are rabies,
bats.
Biting bats, animal bites, and also, like, you get hydrophobia from rabies.
Yeah.
And people were like, whoa, why are they afraid of water? You know, like, were they a vampire? I don't know. But that's not really a vampire characteristic, but...
But still, it's just tied weird. To it. Yeah, it's like a weird thing.
And then...
And also sensitivity to light, I think, is another thing with rabies. So that makes sense, like sunlight.
Yeah, exactly. And then there was also this disease called pellagra, which I don't really have any information about, but there was also linked to that.
And he got a, any, like, diseased, like, just poor, sick person, they were like,
I know.
Oh my god, vampire, like, that's actually so fucked
up. It's really actually so sad.
Yeah.
And, of course, all of these diseases were rampant during the Middle Ages and during the so-called Great Vampire Epidemic, which was roughly from 1725 to 1755, and this really blew up in Slavic countries, but all over Europe, too, and much like the clown panic of 2016, as I discussed last episode.
History repeats itself.
Yes. Although this was, like, far worse.
Yeah.
and way longer. And worse implications, because they were stabbing corpses. Like, it was crazy.
Okay.
It was, like, huge hysteria across Europe, leading people to dig up and attack corpses believed to be vampires. So, because another myth about the vampires is that they're believed to be undead, and so they believed that by attacking the corpse, especially putting a stake through their heart or covering the body in garlic, which are traditions in Slavic folklore, that would kill the vampire once and for all. Like, they thought that was the way to not have vampires anymore.
That's kind of crazy that just, like, spread that quickly and everyone was just, like, digging up graves.
No, yeah, because it was originally, like, those were practices in Slavic folklore surrounding vampires, and then it blew up across Europe, and then they're basically just, like, desecrating graves.
Grave diggers,
that they believed were vampires.
Dig up her bones, am I right?
Yeah. So, anyway, let's talk a little bit about Dracula, and I'll leave most of that for you.
Oh, yeah, that's what I get into.
But I'm going to talk about just, like, because I don't know if you talked about Vlad.
I can talk about Vlad, but you can talk about Vlad.
Okay, because that's, like, history.
Yeah, I'll just know Vlad.
Okay, word.
Yeah.
So, Vlad.
I'll be the footnote to Vlad.
Yes. So, it was, you know, obviously vampires have been around in, you know, Eastern European folklore for centuries, but it was really Bram Stoker's Dracula that created, like, the modern blueprint for vampires and made it more of a mainstream monster, as you're going to get into more later. But
yes.
The history behind this is that Bram Stoker allegedly, this is speculative, but he basically based Count Dracula after Vlad Draculea.
I know, I don't know how to, like, pronounce it. Draculea.
Draculea.
I'm going to be Vlad Draculea for Halloween.
You just impale people? He's also known as Vlad the Impaler, and he was born in Transylvania, Romania. Sound familiar? And he ruled... I think it's pronounced Wallachia, Romania, off and on between 1448 and 1477, so at the height of this, like, Middle Ages, you know, rampant diseases and the fear of vampires. So, He was basically just a really cruel ruler who fought off the Ottoman Empire, but he earned his nickname because his favorite way to kill his enemies was to impale them on a wooden stick.
And then did you read that, according to legend, he would enjoy dining with his, like, dead or dying victims. Very, like, Texas Chainsaw. Mm-hmm. And, and he would, like, dip his bread
in their blood. Very, which is very vampire. Very vampire of him.
How vampire of you?
Very demure, very vampire. Very vampire. This man was sopping up their blood with bread, like...
like, left and right, like...
like, he's crazy. Treat, yeah. But also just, like, impaling them on a wooden stake, like, think about that. From, like, middle up. Yeah. Ooh, this guy was crazy.
Skewered. Even at the end of a skewer.
Literally.
Skewer.
So you can tell that Dracula, even if he didn't take inspo from Vlad the Impaler, he definitely took inspo from, like, Slavic folklore.
Yeah, totally.
The great vampire epidemic and all the, like, diseases associated with it, for sure.
Yeah.
So that's just a little bit of interesting history about that. I really want to visit. You can, like, visit the castle where Vlad the Impaler ruled. And I feel like that'd be so cool because I've been wanting to go to Eastern Europe. Like, Eastern Europe has, like, such a
rich history. And, yeah. Like, so much folklore and, like,
yeah,
like,
and it's kind of, there's something just kind of, like, spooky, creepy
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, totally.
I would love to go
Wait,
visit
that'd
that.
Be lit.
His castle?
Going to Vlad's castle. I always make it German. Vlad's castle, yeah.
Vlad's castle, yeah. That's pretty much all the history I have about
okay,
it.
Okay, lit. Well, let's get into vampires and pop culture. I'm about to cook right now, okay?
Bring it to the modern day, girl.
Let me cook, all
let's
right?
Let's bring
well,
it.
Well, first we begin, like you said, the actual, like, real reign of, like, the vampire terror and fear was in, like, the 1720s, like, 1750s,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
So then in the 19th century, as we kind of move away from that, but it's still present in people's minds, vampires were made their way into, like, poetry and literature as well as, like, political and economic writing. Several popular writings from the time, like, contained talking about class commentary and, like, political stuff, like, kind of like our modern day, like, political comics, just, like, little, pamphlets being handed out, were, like, kind of, like, satire and, like, stories written about vampires, but it was about, like, class divides and shit like that. So they were eating it up with the metaphors early on. So then, yeah, the first, like, one of the first notable, well, I'll talk more into it later, but one of the first, like, notable examples of vampires in literature came from, oh god, let's see if I can pronounce this, Polidori's The Vampire in 1819. So that was inspired by Lord Byron, and there were some other influential works that followed, including, like, they had these little things, like, basically little, like, magazine, like, comic book type things called Penny Dreadfuls that had, like, little drawings, and, like, there was, like, tons of little stories in there, like, through the 1800s. And then, of course, Sheridan Le Fanu's, how do you say it? Le Fanu? Do you know that book, Carmilla?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Wait,
so,
how do you spell it?
It's two words, so it's L-E and then F-A-N-U. But she's Irish, so I don't know how you pronounce it.
Oh. Le Fanu?
Le Fanu. It's, like, French, and I'm like, I don't know. But yeah.
I've been wanting to read that book. I've heard
it.
Really good things.
Yeah, I have it. I meant to read it this week. I just didn't get the time.
Because it's,
like,
a little bit
from it. A little bit
gay, isn't it?
It's lesbian, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's about lesbian vampires. So I'll talk about that more in depth later. But let's begin with, you know, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
You got it.
That is the main thing that people always turn to when they think vampires. They think in Dracula.
Yeah.
So that was written in 1897. And it really impacted, like, the narrative and the symbol of the vampire in pop culture. Like you said, it's thought to be based off of Vlad Dracula. but yeah, Dracula is interesting too. I've never read it, but it's, what is it? Epistolary?
Yeah.
Where it's, like, written, like, like letters and, like, mm-hmm, written mm-hmm. entries from, like, different characters. I didn't know it was written
that I started
that
it, but never finished it. It's very fun because it's kind of, like, a mystery because you, like, I remember the first chapter being, like, when he's, like, arriving at the castle mm-hmm. and he's, like, writing a letter to,
okay.
like, his wife or some
yeah.
shit. And you're, like, what's going on? It feels like a mystery.
Whoa, that's
yeah.
fun. But, yeah, so that was, like, gagging everyone at that time. They're, like, what is this? Because
I bet.
Yeah, like, 1800s literature, dry as fuck, bro. Like,
yeah.
they were not cooking up stories like this back then. So everyone
except
was like,
for my man's Oscar Wilde.
Oh yeah, he was gone. I mean, except for, like, a lot of the gothic stuff, but really Dracula
yeah,
was like one of those
slang.
First major stories.
Yeah,
people have interpreted the novel as, like, an exploration into, like, the ideas of, like, suppressed sexual desire, and also there's tons of talk about, like, patriarchal structures and, like, the conservative norms in Britain at the time in the Victorian era. So there's a lot of, like, complexities in it, which makes sense because, like, even those early vampire writings were, like, very politically and socially charged.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on, I kind of, like, looked at it. There's many ways to, like, break down the vampire story because there's so many vampire movies and books in just, like, through history. I was like, I can't even...
Yeah, it's a lot. I can't
even grapple with it all. But there's a lot of, like, themes that come up, a lot about, like, sexuality,
mm-hmm.
a lot with, like, femininity and, like, gender roles.
Mm.
And then also, like, religion pops up. And, of course, like, the idea of, like, the other, which we see a lot with, like, just typical monster movies.
Yeah.
So first, let's just talk about why vampires are so damn sexy, okay?
Why is that? Because they are.
They are so sexualized. So, like you said, there's that element of, like, obviously it's sexual in nature, just, like,
biting someone,
like, come on, that's like
very, come on,
that's sexual. But then also a lot of vampire stories have this some element of like suppression, like the vampire is having to control his urges, like Edward in Twilight.
Oh, so like, Twilight.
I love Bellicent, and like having to control himself. But there's also like that, it's like the balance between that suppression and also like the lust that you have, or like the desire and drive of like the need to suck someone's blood.
That's so literally like the plot of Twilight.
Yeah, and I'll get into the tea on Twilight because that also has some religious.
Oh yeah,
yeah, religious stuff going on.
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought this was an interesting quote. I got this from like an blog post, like article online, like a Medium post. Mm-hmm. But it said this is like a quote from Neil Gaiman's story, 15 Painted Cards from a Vampire Tarot. Which okay, Neil Gaiman, and he said, it's a way of talking about lust without talking about lust. It is a way of talking about sex and fear of sex and death and fear of death. And what else is there to talk about? And that's, like, so true. Like, there's so much with a vampire that it just embodies and represents and that can, like, take so many different forms.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also, like, the element of danger and the monstrous. Like, a lot of early vampire literature and just pieces of media, including them, was kind of this, the traditional, like, monster stereotype of, like, it's something dark and dangerous that you like want to stay away from. Mm-hmm. And then as we move more into modern times with the vampire, you kind of see that take the more sexual, like
mm-hmm.
alluring route of like, oh, these are like the vampire boyfriend stereotype, and like these mm-hmm. are people that you can trust, like, and that kind of thing, like the good vampires versus the bad vampires.
Yeah.
And it's like it becomes much more complex because it really is just like a reflection of societal fears, like all horror is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, even some of the earliest writing of a vampire, the Polidori's Vampire, he was his vampire, and that one was even written to be like charming and good looking and all those kind of things, because it's that like enticingness about them, but then also like their kind of dark side, that
which is so
that.
Interesting, because most monsters in horror are like ugly on their surface mm-hmm. and terrifying, and you know to be afraid of them immediately
yeah.
based on how they look, but vampires are more deceiving and they come across as more like charming and seductive.
Yeah.
And like that almost makes it scarier because it's like they're two-sided.
Yeah. You don't know what to expect. But that's what opens it up for like way more like interpretations of this monster character, because how much can you do with like a zombie or like mm-hmm. you know, something like that, where it's like there's not a whole lot of nuance that you could like bring into that, but there's so much that you could have the vampire represent.
It's the same cool. thing with clowns, where like they yes. come across a certain way, but it's the two-sidedness and the what you don't expect that makes it much scarier.
So interesting. Yes.
nuance
we love to talk about.
I love nuanced monsters.
I love nuanced monsters.
New podcast name just dropped. Nuanced monsters. That's us.
Literally us. And us during Halloween. But yeah, so like I said, there's also this idea of like the whole vampire boyfriend that really took off in 2005 after Twilight was published. And that was catering more towards teen girls, which wasn't really the thing seen with like vampire media forever.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that trend like especially rise in TV shows like Vampire Diaries and True Blood. So I found another blog post, or that blog post I just referenced, but there was another quote that said, the 20th century saw a few iterations of the sexy vampires. Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah, that's very sexual.
Yeah, and Gary Oldman's Dracula. Is that the one with...
Oh, yeah.
Writer?
Yeah, and Keanu Reeves. That was good, sexy. And also pretty sexy. Yeah, that was sexy. Very good.
So those are two notable examples. And then we have Edward Cullen. He's the quintessential vampire boyfriend, described as angelically beautiful and forever 17 with his brooding Ainsfield attitude to match. So it's like, it's interesting too, because in Twilight, it's like, didn't they have like a whole thing where they were like, basically Confederate, like, soldiers or something, too. Like, they have some of the vampires in it who are, like, part of the Confederacy or something. Oh,
there is some, like, weird, like, white supremacy.
There's some weird white supremacy Mormonism nonsense. Shit going on yeah, in totally. That book. But it's just, like, so, like, there's that thing, too, where it's, like, oh, they're, like, the girl in, like, those types of, like, love stories with a vampire is always, like, well, I'm different and singled out because, like, he, like, loves me and can't control his, like, urges to, like, fall in love with me and, like, turn me into a vampire like him. And it's, like, well, this is, like, a centuries-old man. Like, this is, like, a 300-year-old man.
Yeah, when you think about it, it's very
weird. It gets
weird.
Really weird and creepy.
Because he's dead. Like, that's the thing about vampires. The they're undead.
They're dead.
Dead people.
Yeah. Living dead girl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, here's, like, a quote from the article, too, that was kind of saying what I just said, but it said, these observations go some way to explaining the love story between young women and vampires, the promise of forever and the implication that the love of a mythical creature meant you were special, was a fantasy teenage girls could lose themselves in. It also offered the possibility to possess ultimate strength, being transformed by your inhuman, permanently gorgeous boyfriend. The vampire, like the teenage girl, occupies a liminal space. They are neither living nor dead. The teenage girl is neither child nor adult. So it kind of makes sense, like, why it appeals to that, because, like, as a kid, like, as a teenager, you just think you're gonna be a teenager forever.
Yeah.
And, like, that's kind of the whole thing about a vampire, and that's why, like, it kind of works with those, like, teenage love stories, which is, like, really weird and strange, considering that they're old men, pretty much.
When
they're dead guys. Like,
yeah,
what?
Exactly. But it also, combines that, like, seductive element. That,
yeah, like, ooh, well, I'm singled out, and I'm, like, different, because
he
wants me and only me, and he's not like these other guys.
Yeah,
like,
he's
like,
really
a gentleman from 17 to 45.
Yeah, for real.
What?
Like,
okay.
He's not a man of today. Like, he's a man of 1745.
So weird.
He's got that 1700s charm. Like, yeah, you guys just wouldn't understand a real gentleman.
A real gentleman. And at the time, parents were, like, super upset about Twilight because a lot of them, like, didn't really understand the, like, context of it, because they were like, there's so much talk about sex and blah, 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 blah. And it's true, because it is, like, all about sex.
Totally.
But the context, knowing that Stephanie Meyer is Mormon, really changes it. And, like, that is showing that the whole novel really is about, like, the suppression and, like, restraint of, like, having sexual intercourse pretty much before, like, marriage.
Totally.
So, because basically, Bella can't have sex with Edward and, like, have kids and reproduce with him until she is also a vampire like him. So the vampirism in the book is just a metaphor for Mormonism.
And
much.
Waiting until marriage.
Yeah, which is fucking crazy. And I'll kind of talk more later on about, like, how religion shows up in the vampire myths that we see. But it kind of comes up a lot, which is a really interesting take that's different than just the normal vampire story. So.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we also see talk a lot of, like, femininity and gender roles within the vampire. So Carmilla is one of those big stories that really touches on that. And, like, so early on, too. It's, like, very, like, evidently queer literature. Like, it's very out and open about that. Because it's basically, like, a female vampire preying on another woman. And it's, like, obviously, the sexual nature of vampires, it's, like, it's pretty clear that that's in that story.
What year did that come out again?
It's, like, right before Dracula in...
That's crazy.
1872.
I mean, like, it's really interesting, like, thinking about the history of queer literature, because some books were, like, so out, because that's how, I mean, honestly, the picture of Dorian Gray is pretty openly gay.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, a little subtle, but, like, you know.
That's how Carmilla is, I've heard. That's, like, it's, yeah, it's, like, they're not, like, outright, like, I, like, but basically, like, I'm lusting after her and this and that.
And they're all just, like, they're just talking so dotingly about another character.
Yeah, and it's like, come on, guys, we know what's going on here. Yeah. Twilight in that same way kind of touches on femininity, but very differently than, like, Carmilla would, where it's, like, that same thing of, like, now she's in a position when it's a male vampire where it's, like, it's just, like, in life, like, the sexual nature of things, like, really changes the dynamics, like, if it's gendered, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, on the contrary to that, you also see another, like, teen vampire story with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which totally takes a different view of vampires and really brings it back to the original, like, threatening vampires that you, like, need to be, like, sworn off.
And it's more feminist,
It's more feminist. And so this is a quote from, where did I get this from? But this was, like, someone's research, like, a college research paper that I found online about, like, vampires and femininity and, like, gender roles.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, Buffy's characterized as a competent, fiercely young woman. Though she sometimes struggles, she maintains the ability to juggle school and her ever-demanding job as a vampire slayer. Her character is defined by remaining fierce and confident in the face of danger, and she consistently proves herself to be a capable female. While Buffy maintains typical feminine qualities, she also features qualities which may be associated with masculinity, such as her physical strength. And then it kind of goes on to say, compared to Twilight, and it says, in that regard, like, she's seen as more of this, like, taking on, like, the character of Van Helsing in, like, Dracula, who's, like, fighting off the vampires and, like, protecting everyone. Whereas you see in Twilight, it's, like, the woman, the only role that Bella has is to, like, be a wife and, like, childbearer to her vampire boyfriend. Yeah, which is, like, so fucking weird.
She's very passive. Like, you can definitely tell it comes from, like, it's a kind of Mormon conservative story, by the way, she's portrayed.
Like, totally. Once you know that context, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But then another great example, like, one of the best examples of gender roles and sexuality in vampire stories is, and we watched this in our film studies class, as A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, that 2014, like...
I never saw that. I was sick the day they watched that, and no, it's just so sad because I wanted to see it.
It's an Iranian film. Well, it's, like, shot and made in America, but I think the writer and director is an Iranian woman. Mm-hmm. And she... It's basically about a vampire who preys on the men that attempt to, like, seduce her or, like, threaten her as she's walking home alone at night, and she, like, protects other women as she's just, like, looming through the night. It's so fun. And I saw, like, a quote about it, and it said, the film without the constraint, this is from I don't know why I didn't quote, like, any of these sources.
I kind of stopped quoting things, too, and
I know. Like, anyways, this is, like, from, like, a review of it. I think it's from, like, The Atlantic or something. It said, the film without the constraints of censorship that normally govern Iranian cinema challenges some of the Islamic Republic's ideals in the context of revolutionary Iran. That's so hard to say. It is femininity and women's sexuality that must be tamed and controlled. Failing becomes the means through which this is attempted. But by her very nature, the girl can never endorse or promote such ideology. She can never be controlled, tamed, or contained. So it's kind of like breaking through that, like, those gender norms and stuff that are part of, like, Iranian culture. And so it was, like, really interesting to, like, dive into that and, like, such a nuanced new take on that.
I need to see that one.
It was really good. Okay, my last... I didn't even get to touch on all my favorite vampire things. We just talked about, like, some of our favorite vampire stuff at the end. Because I'm, like... I mostly just reference... I felt like I was writing, like... It was kind of, like, brought me back to college. Because I felt like I was, like, writing a little essay. Referencing stuff and, like...
For horror movies. Things.
Yeah, I was, like, I kind of love this. It really tapped into, like, my educational side. Where I was, like, I'm missing the academia of it all.
Oh, yeah. That reminded me of being in that horror films class we took.
It was the best class.
It was so fun.
I, like, wanna just, like... study horror movies all the time.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Lastly, like I said, religion is a huge theme that shows up in vampire media, and that's obviously in Twilight is a big one. But also, like, I just finished watching Midnight Mass, which is semi kind of based on, more like influenced by Stephen King's Salem's Lot. And that was his book that came out in 1975, and then they also made, like, a TV special for it in the 80s and or 70s or 80s, and then they remade it into a movie like a year or two ago too. But I don't really fuck with Stephen King like heavy like that, but Midnight Mass was super cool, and just like the story and how they used like the imagery and the traditions and like all of that within like Catholicism to like tell a vampire story through, because a lot of it's kind of the same, like the sacrament and like all that kind of stuff. It kind of like parallels
and, like,
in a weird
way. Eating the body and the blood.
Exactly, like Christ. It kind of goes back to Vlad. You know what I mean?
That's very Vlad. That's very Vladic.
It's very Vladic. But like in Midnight Mass, like they touch a lot on Catholicism, and that was also a really like pertinent theme in Salem's Lot as well. Mm-hmm. And just like the idea of like religion and death and faith and like how we kind of approach all those things within religion is kind of how we use the image of the vampire to kind of talk about those same topics, which is super interesting.
Yeah.
So that's all I gotta say about vampires and pop culture. But let's talk about some of our faves, perhaps.
Oh my God, yes. My fave, Jennifer's Body.
Okay, I was gonna talk about Jennifer's Body, but technically she's not a vampire.
What is she?
She's just a like demon, basically. Because she doesn't like just drink their blood and all of that, and she doesn't have the same like can't be in the sun and this and that, because she can be in the sun because she goes out in the day.
Okay.
But she, because I was going to talk about it when I was talking about femininity and stuff, but yeah. I kind of want to talk about that in like a completely different episode, because I watched it again recently, and I was so just, like, taken aback by, like, it was looked at for so long as just, like, a, like, look at, like, a money grab, like,
campy hot girls.
Like, not even, like, it was supposed, yeah, just, like, hot girls, like, whatever type of movie that was at, like, early 2000s, like, kind of throwaway movie, and then you rewatch it, and you're, like,
this the layers. Aid,
though. Yeah, yeah, like, I'm like, this kind
of well, aid. When you were talking about, what is it, Carmella?
Carmella, yeah.
Carmella.
Yeah.
That reminded me of Jennifer. I mean, I haven't read Carmella, yeah. But, like, it kind of reminded me of Jennifer's Body, where there's totally. Definitely some, like, queer undertones there, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's very seductive.
Oh, yeah, and just talks a lot of, it's basically, like, a rape revenge story. Like, that's yeah. All Jennifer's Body is, and you watch it, like, in modern times after Me Too, and, like, everything, you're like,
yeah, it's very feminist.
It takes a very different, you just, like, get a different perspective. Yeah, it takes a different meaning after, like, you know, whatever, what that came out in, like, 2005 or something. Like,
yeah.
Nearly 20 years later, it's like, oh,
that's it does, very different. But it's also, like, campy.
Oh, it's I so love it. Yeah, fun. It's still so we should rewatch that. It's I've been so wanting to. It's so fucking good. I yeah. Love Jennifer's Body.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, but because I was going to talk about that, but I was like, I guess she's technically not. I was, like, talking to Travis about it at work. I was like, is Jennifer's Body a vampire movie? Because we were going through Letterboxd and, like, writing down. We like, had a whole conversation about vampire movies. So I was like, I need to watch some more.
Yeah.
And I was like, is Jennifer's Body one? And he was like, no, I wouldn't really consider that. Like, she's just, like, a demon, basically. Because it's true. Like, she doesn't have, like, the same
characteristics.
Yeah, it's not, like, very yeah. Obviously, but it's very close.
And but she bites people, right?
She, like, eats them.
Oh, yeah. She eats them.
Yeah. And I saw, like, a thing online, too, that, like, was an article or it was, like, a blog post or something about, like, the parallels between Carmella and Jennifer's Body.
Yeah.
So I read that, too, and I was like, that actually is
that's
interesting.
Fascinating. What was I going to say? Well, oh, have you seen the Dracula with Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder?
I was going to watch it the other night, but I was like, I feel like that would be more fun for us to watch together.
Yeah, we should watch that together. Yeah. I've been wanting to rewatch that. That was very fun and spooky. And that was also kind of campy, if I remember correctly.
Love
but another campy one, I watched a lot of campy vampire movies with Helena and Izzy.
Oh, yeah. You guys got into, like, with, like, the Interview with a Vampire thing,
yeah,
right?
We watched Interview with a Vampire.
You watched the new one, right?
No, we watched the one with Brad Pitt. It's from, like, the 90s.
Oh, okay.
It has, like, young Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, and okay. It's very gay. Like, there was a lot of
queerness.
There's a lot of queerness.
Well, that's just, like, all art, but especially, you know, like, that. Especially with the vampire, though, because it is so sexual. Like, you can, there's so many, like, routes you can take talking about gender roles and, like, queerness and stuff.
Yeah, there's so much you can do with it. Yeah. But, yeah, that was very campy and gay and, like, whoa, what the fuck. Yeah. But also, yeah, Dracula with Keanu Reeves. I mean, I just love that's my man.
That's my man.
Winona Ryder. That's my girl.
Too hot.
I love them. Literally. I love them. Did you know they had a crush on each other? They, like, Keanu Reeves, like, revealed it later. He was like, I had a crush on you in the 90s. And she was like, well, I had a crush on you in the 90s. I was like, why didn't you guys fucking date them?
No, why didn't you just date and, like, have so many kids?
Seriously, well, they're in a movie together recently, I think, but where they were, like, a couple, but, like.
Are they married, each of them?
Probably.
That's a damn shame.
I've also heard What We Do in the Shadows is really good, but I've never seen
that. Oh, yeah, it's, like, really funny, I heard.
I've heard that's good.
Yeah.
Nosferatu is coming out.
I can't fucking wait for Nosferatu. Yes. Y'all are going to get...
Isn't Willem Dafoe in it?
Willem Dafoe.
Anything Willem Dafoe is in is good.
That's what we were talking about today at work, too, because I hit the Willem Dafoe stands, you know, the... I hit that, and I was like, why was that kind of a good stretch? I was like, Willem Dafoe kind of ate with that.
He's so funny.
He ate with that pose.
He's so, like, funny and just, like, such a strange character, but also, like... such a good actor. Yeah. Everything he's in is so
Travis,
good.
I mean,
that
like,
man has range.
Do you think Willem Dafoe is like a little hot? And I was like, no. But the only reason for that is because I saw him in Wild at Heart and he was so creepy in that. And I'm like, no. I was like, you saw that man in Wild at Heart?
He has a charm, but I don't think he's attractive, no. But he has a charm. And yeah. I respect him. And he's so low key, too.
He's
like,
so fucking low key. And
he just does
eats.
His business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Some of my faves. Well, the other night I watched Fright Night, which is like an 80s. Campy
ooh.
Little vampire movie, and that was good. Travis recommended I watch that one, and then I also watched these aren't like my favorites, but just ones I watched recently. I watched Only Lovers Left Alive, which has wait, let me get this. Tom, what's his name? Hiddleston,
oh,
or whatever, and what's her nuts? Fucking Tilda Swinton.
Oh,
so that was actually
Tilda
pretty good. It was just like vibey. Isn't she such a vampire, though?
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Yeah, so she freaked me out. I watched that the other night, and that was pretty good, too. But I love, like, I mean, have you seen The Lost Boys?
No.
Oh, you would really like The Lost Boys. We should watch that one, too. Wait, so but we need to watch Lost Boys?
Yeah, we need
and
to keep a
Dracula. Because yes. Those are, like, such good, like,
and rewatch Jennifer's Body.
And rewatch Jennifer's Body. Yeah, so those are some, that one's, like, one of my favorites, I'd say. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do love Twilight. Like, I'm sorry to say. Like, I do be rewatching the Twilights. Because they're so, oh, yeah. They're so funny and, like, so of that time. And it's just, like.
And they're, like, that's kind so of vibey. Good. They like, are kind of vibey. They kind of have an almost Twin Peaks feel.
Exactly. But you know what vampire movie I fucking loved growing up? Well, it's Washington. That's why. Forks, Washington.
Exactly. It's all foggy.
You know which one I loved growing up? Did you ever watch Van Helsing? Because it's based on the character in Dracula.
No.
But it's Hugh Jackman. And it's so fucking, like, I don't even know. Like, if I rewatched it nowadays, I'd probably be like, what the fuck is this? But my brother, like, loved it. And I think there's, like, a werewolf in that. And then my brother dressed up as a werewolf, like, for Halloween one year. And it scared the, like, piss out of me. He always would dress up as such scary shit for Halloween. It would, like, chase me around the house. And it's, like, amazing that I still like horror nowadays. Because he would, like, literally terrorize me. But it's, like, so funny. But yeah, that's, the one I didn't talk about that I love, what is it? Let the Right One In.
Dude, I don't know any of these. I'm like, need to get up on my.
Oh my God. We also watched that in, or did we? Yeah, we watched it in horror films.
Oh, we didn't watch that in our
class. Let the Right One In is so good. It's also, a book. It's like a Swedish movie and book. And it's like about, it's like a coming of age and like young romance story, but it's like these two kids who like live next to each other, like this like new, like this girl, she like moves in and she's like a little bit weird and like the kids kind of like bullied and stuff and like become friends, but the little girl's like a vampire. It's so cute and like so like touching. But I want to read the book too. There's lots of like vampire books I want to like read, you know.
Yeah,
yeah,
dude, I know. I want to read Carmilla Soprano.
What
do you, let's end this with, what horror monster do you think you are? I think we've talked about this before. I think I'm a vampire.
Oh, you're such a vampire. You're so, literally, yes! The little girl in Let the Right One In, like, kind of looks like you. Like, she has blue eyes and, like, dark hair.
Whoa.
And, like, you know, pale and, yeah.
No, I could convincingly do. I was a vampire for years for Halloween as a kid. And I still have that cape.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah, I can pull it out.
I was a bat 1 year. Actually, I was a vampire, too. Because when I was a kid, I was really weird. And I was a weird kid. But I would always read, because I read, like, Benicula. And I would, do you ever read Benicula?
No.
Oh, my God.
I
read a lot of books about vampires and also just like monsters when I was a kid. Yeah. Like I said, my mom, we were watching Midnight Mass, like I watched it with my parents, and my mom was like, do you remember when like you read all those like books about vampires as a kid? And I was like, mm-hmm. And she's like, you've always been a little weird. like, as we were sitting watching like a vampire show, I was like, yeah. but yeah, sense. I like loved reading those kinds of books as a kid, and I like wanted to be a vampire so fucking bad.
Oh yeah, they were like, cool. So like they're a cool monster, and they're like sexy and
yeah, they're sexy and fun cool. And cool. I would always read these ones about like there's like these series of books when I was a kid that were like catered to like elementary and like middle school kid like girls, and it was like always like there was like one where like the girl was like secretly a vampire, but she would like go to like middle school every day. It was like those type of books, and I was I just want to be a vampire so fucking bad.
Yeah. I think if you're gonna horror monster though, you're a clown.
Yeah, I'm
like I don't even consider that even a horror monster completely, but like you're just a clown.
So clown. That's why we had to do clowns and vampires.
Like, we represented both of us.
We did. That's our culture.
Ryan Ghoul.
Ghoul.
Right? Or ghost.
I got to be mummy.
Oh, mummy. Because
he's like a history major too.
Oh, he's such a mummy.
He's so mummy.
I forget about mummies.
Oh my God, you know what? I forget about mummies. Remember the Scooby-Doo?
Yes! I love that Scooby-Doo.
Was it in the Ghoul School?
I have that on DVD, and I rewatched it recently when I was home.
Because
the mummy girl is so cute.
The mummy girl is so cute. And the vampire girl is so slayed. Like, that is so
The girls in that were, like, an inspiration to me.
They were too. Like, I was so cool. Guys, pull up a pic, because I'm so the fucking Frankenstein girl. She's, like, basically a boy.
What were they called? What was it called?
Ghoul School.
Ghouls School, dude.
You know the one we watched the other night? We watched the Hex Girls one the other night. And that one
yeah.
That one fucking ate.
I
it's
love
like such,
Scooby-Doo,
it's
bro.
Such, like, fall vibe. Wait, that would be an amazing costume, the Ghoul School?
Yeah, because it's kind of, it's very niche. Like, not everybody knows about that.
That would be so good. I could be the little fucking dyke Frankenstein girl. And you could be
I could
the
be
cutie vampire with purple hair. Shut Slay. The fuck up.
The ghost
okay,
girl.
Okay, guys, next Halloween we have plans. Like
plans.
We need
plans,
to start.
Plans.
I'm hoping by like next Halloween we can like hopefully we'll have our video stuff up and going finally.
Yeah.
And we can like dress up and have it like decorated.
Oh my
in
god,
here.
That would be such a slay.
Yeah.
Well, because we're still getting our podcast room set anyway, so yeah. It wasn't gonna work this time anyway.
No,
I don't
not
think.
This
but
time.
Dude, I can like picture the way their voices sounded in that Scooby-Doo
oh, me
episode.
Too.
Like it's so
it's
distinct.
So that was like my fucking childhood.
Why do I have like
that and the Garfield Halloween special where they dress up as like pirates? Do you remember that?
Dude,
and
I didn't watch Garfield ever.
Oh my god,
I was
love
not a Garfield
girl. I rewatch it like every year. It's so fucking good.
That why do I have like a maternal instinct towards this mommy girl? I'm like, you're so cute.
I know.
I like feel the need to like mother her.
Oh, shit. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us. Have a spooky fucking Halloween.
Have a great Halloween. We sure are. We're having a party. And you know what? We're going to set out some candy.
We're going to set out some
have
candy.
Have some people trick-or-treat.
Amazing.
Walk around the neighborhood. I think we
yes.
should go on a walk around the neighborhood, cider in hand, with the girls and the boys and all dressed up.
Girls and boys all dressed up, cider in hand. We have such a fun night on Halloween.
We trick-or-treat. We trick-or-treat, girl.
We trick-or-treat, girl. Go around walking in costume, have much candy, and so completely have an amazing night, girl.
Yes!
Yes! Let us know what you guys dress up
for Halloween. Yeah, what's your costume? Let us know.
And also, what's your favorite Halloween candy?
Oh, yeah. And we've talked about that
before.
We've
talked about this many times.
Go back to our Halloween special.
Oh, yeah. That one was so good.
Refer to the Halloween special.
To the source material. And just have a spooky time, guys.
Yes. Bless.
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 Bless up. All right.
Bye.